Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, guys, I don't even know what to do with this one. I think I'm just going to say it. A Florida woman submitted a urine sample for drug court, but it wasn't hers. Oh, it gets worse. It wasn't human. It was a dog's.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Hunter Biden's like, how'd you do that? Clearwater, Florida. A Florida woman told the police that she plotted to hand over dog urine instead of her own in an attempt to pass a court-ordered drug screening. 42-year-old Jessica Beatty was required to undergo random drug tests. I'm like, I'm sorry. My head's full of snossages jokes. She was required to undergo random drug testing in compliance with her release for drugs. And as long as she underwent random drug testing, they said, okay, well, then you can go. So she had an appointment to submit a urine sample at the county's misdemeanor probation unit. And when she took the test, it showed up to be fraudulent. And they confronted her. And then she finally said that she collected urine from her aunt's dog.
How do you do that?
I don't want to know. I don't literally want to know. Yeah. I don't know. I have two other headlines here that are heinous, and I'm not going to read them. Let's see. They're so bad. Then a woman was seen riding an e-scooter literally on a highway. Florida, it's a woman driver, don't you know? She was literally on a Miami highway riding an electric scooter. And a related headline, two women were struck by a vehicle after riding an e-scooter literally in the middle of the street. So, like, maybe don't do that. And our partners, Kel-Tec, the R50, versatile. It's a global choice for protective details and sport shooters. The R50 is awesome. It's like the P50 is an awesome 5.7. I've got the P50. The P50 is great for serious zone protection. It's fun on the range. So the R50 is just, you know, the carbine. It's the big brother version. Ambicide folding stock, 16-inch threaded barrel, great ballistics. The 5.7 cartridge, several variants, you know, sporting, hunting, serious personal defense. And here's the kicker. It ships with two standard capacity 50-round double stack magazines that lay horizontally along the top. It's light, well-balanced, easy manipulated, and accurate. And it's great fun on the range. And like I said, great for serious home protection. Learn more about the new R50 carbine at KeltecWeapons.com. That's KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And I'm also making the decision that this has to be an America First candidate in that White House. As I've said since the beginning, there are two America First candidates in this race. And earlier tonight, I called Donald Trump to tell him that I congratulated him on his victory. And now going forward, he will have my full endorsement for the presidency. And I think we're going to do the right thing for this
country. I said last night, and I meant it, the stalking horse made an obvious endorsement. I mean, that's not a shocking thing. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I'm not going to hear the weeping and gnashing of teeth from anybody who's like, you talk tough during the primary. I think he can handle it. It's fine. A couple people need to calm down. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of this first hour. But it is true. I mean, don't sit here I'm not going to sit here and act otherwise. That's not shocking. Good heavens. There were people who got madder at me because I said stalking horse makes obvious endorsement than they were from Trump's banning him from the MAGAverse for forever and saying he's not MAGA. Stop. We're not playing this game. I'm not doing it. I just think, if the original insult was thinking that voters were too dumb to know this in the first place. That was the original insult. He didn't perform well, and nothing against him personally. I mean, clearly he's made some good decisions in his life because he's been successful in business. But that's one thing. To be successful in business is one thing. To be successful in policy with this is something else entirely different. Maybe he can get in the trenches and fight a little bit before, you know, he tries, as Thomas Massie said, he tries to be the general of a movement that he actually hasn't been a part of until very recently and literally was donating to Democrats. And you can see that on my Substack because I have posted receipts. So that being said, I want to get back to a couple of other things. Haley, last night, I think that DeSantis overperformed ever so slightly. Trump underperformed. Nikki Haley was kind of flat. And that kind of goes along with, it was almost right with the polling. And this is going to get into something else we're going to talk about here coming up with polling. But one of the things that I noticed with her, and if you, I was updating live over at Substack, is that she pulled a lot from the left. Now remember, I always got same day registration. I have a sneaking suspicion that there were a lot of Democrats who actually registered and voted for her. I mean, in fact, I'm not a betting person. I don't gamble, but I totally would gamble on this. Absolutely. I'd put a stack down on that. They absolutely did. She pulled from some of the leftiest. They didn't do exits there, but they did. They do entrance polls. And a lot of the people that were voted, she got a lot of collegiates. She just got a lot of people that identified that self-ID'd as like being lefty, that were very moderate and away from a lot of traditional Republican positions. And she still, I mean, technically she was just like barely like a point under. But I don't want to say that she underperformed. I think, you know, it's within the margin of error. So I think she was pretty neutral. But I do think that you can interpret this one or two ways. She pulled a lot of people on the left. I don't think that she is pulling the so-called not Trump vote. I really don't. Because that is a false generalization of people who don't think that Trump is conservative enough. And that is a true thing. I mean, you have to realize there were a lot of people that were really upset over immigration. Back in 2018, Trump was pushing Bob Goodlatte's bill, which was an amnesty bill. Trump was arguing to give amnesty to a hell of a lot of illegal immigrants. That was a part of Bob Goodlatte's bill. He faced off against a lot of the other Republicans in Congress over that. That's God's honest truth. Strike me with lightning if it's not, because that's exactly what happened. You can be mad at it, all be mad at me for mentioning it, but he was pushing amnesty in 2018. He lost a lot of people that was their wedge issue. And I remember in 2016 and even in 2018, immigration was the top issue in 2016. It even beat the economy. And it was again going into 2018. And 2018, that really, it hurt down ticket races. It really hurt Republicans in the midterm because of that. I think people forget a lot about that association. It really hurt. So keep that in mind, because immigration was one of the top issues going into Iowa for turnout. Now, the reason I bring up the Haley aspect of it is because she's not getting those conservative voters. She's pulling from the left. She's not pulled enough from the right demographics to be able to successfully say that she is the alternative. And I'm like, alternative to what, though? I mean, I think that, like, what is the alternative? I will say the one thing about Trump that he I think would have had a better reaction in Iowa, and I'm going to talk about that here next, is what is he for? Because all of his speeches have been about legal problems and opponents. In 2016, he was about issues, and that worked for him. He's not hitting that near as hard. And you know that's true. I think that his people need to kind of retune some of that. Now, let me get into some of this other stuff that I just mentioned. So the voting in Iowa, we expected that was going to happen. And the goal was that DeSantis, if he was going to last, he had to come in second, which he did. And he had to take out Haley. He's got to take out Haley more now. He's got to destroy her. You have 752,200 registered Republicans. There was, in 2016, 187,000 people that turned out. Trump did not win the Iowa caucus in 2016. Now, if you go back, this is why winning the caucus doesn't necessarily mean anything. That's why it's like, well, even if DeSantis were to win it, so Cruz won it in 2016. I mean, you've had some, Mike Huckabee has won this thing before. Do you have a President Huckabee or a President Cruz? No. So, I mean, I think you kind of also need to keep it in a little bit in mind. Everyone wants to be a prognosticator. They all want to look at this like, okay, let's see what we can deduce from this. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they're going to go on. I mean, it's kind of like 50-50 who wins Iowa and goes forward. So keep, you know, got to keep all this stuff in mind. You, I think Dole, the last big record that they had was in 88 when Dole was almost plus 13 with that. Now, the turnout this time was lower, 115,000 people. So you had about 20% of the registered Republicans that turned out, and Trump won just half of those. Just keep that in mind. Now, some say, and you could, and I get people put the weather out, but this is Iowa. They are used to snow and cold, folks. I mean, I'm not gonna die on this hill of arguing whether or not it is a measure of enthusiasm or engagement within the Republican base. I have some friends who are in analysis that say it absolutely is. I'm not as hardcore as they are on it. I don't know. I think we need to see a couple of other things. They say that there's a waning appeal of the party. You have more independents, though. More people are leaving the Democrat Party, but they're registering as independents. They're not registering as Republicans. But it was the lowest turnout since 2000, and you have had big snowstorms since then where you've had turnouts that have been higher. So, like I said, I'm putting that on the table, but that's not one of the things I'm like, well, look at this. I don't know if I want to say that that's a reliable enough measure yet. The Republicans in Iowa, and here's something else to note, they were more inclined towards candidates that they thought would champion values. They were not concerned with national electability. Now, I'm going to get into the problem that DeSantis is going to face and he's going to have. Let's talk about the one that Trump has and is going to face right now. So the primary voting is not the general, which you know this, but I'm saying it for a very specific reason. When Iowan Republicans, particularly in entrance polls, when they were going into this, they were looking at values and who champions specific issues. They were not prioritizing national electability. Broad appeal is absolutely crucial. It is tantamount in national elections. Primary less so. You need to keep that in mind because that's exactly what happened in 2018. 2020 and 2022. Now, set aside a lot of the discussion about fraud in certain states, etc. The states that allowed split ticket voting, those are the states that Trump struggled in. I went back and I was looking at all of this data. Now, this is why I say I also don't know if that's going to improve even with a DeSantis on the ticket, because the Republicans, what the hell are they doing? Seriously, what is RNC leadership doing? That is going to be, that and mail-in ballots are going to be the biggest threat to any kind of Republican victory, and they have zero plans, folks. So there was a waning of appeal, and I'm saying this not to slam a candidate. I'm telling you, if you want to fix it and you want your candidate, because I like to have a plan A and a plan B going into a general election. I don't know about you. I want to win. Like I said, I will steamroll your grandmother if it means winning in 2024. I don't care. I'm not going to apologize for it. I want an A and a B, right? Because I think this is the last exit off the highway. If you want your candidate to be strong, he's got to work on his broader appeal. It hurt in 2018, it hurt in 2020, and it hurt in 2022. He lost more than he won with a lot of endorsements, and a lot of the endorsements were last minute. And get mad at me if you want, but I'm telling you this because if you want the facts and you want a real friend who cares about winning to tell you this, then you're going to take it at that meaning. A lot of the people that he endorsed, some of them were last minute endorsements after they were already going to clinch. But the ones that weren't, they lost, and they lost in dramatic fashion. Blake Masters, Carrie Lake, Dr. Oz. I could go on. There were a lot. They weren't necessarily the best candidates. And the state parties had to help. You have state Republican parties that are bankrupt right now. The Republican Party, state by state, is broke as hell. I have a whole story on that that we're going to get to coming up later on in the show. Trump's folks have got to work on his broader appeal. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't do that by hiring campaign bots to overtake Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and call people who didn't support your guy in a primary traitors. You don't do that by being nasty with people who think like you and are your allies, but because they have a different position in the primary, you want to name call them and be nasty to them. You either want to win in 2024 and you don't. And by God, let me tell you something. You're going to need every one of those damn votes if you want to do it. And that's your guy. That has to happen. And you're not going to do it like that. If you want people to unify, then you have to be unity. But don't expect people to come around when you're throwing vinegar at them. And this goes to everybody. I don't have time for the petty ego fellation. I don't. This is the last exit off the highway. And we're going to sit here and play around with owns on social media. It's one of the most beta things I've ever seen in my life. Some people need to go to their doctor and get their testosterone shots because the deficit's showing on social media. Some of the chicks need to go get some progesterone because the deficit's showing on social media. Everybody, take a giant-ass collective breath and chill, because there's a lot going on here. Everybody's got to work on tone. The left does it. The only time you see them not doing it is with RFK's people. But even then, it's a little more nuanced. And I've been watching it. You don't, they do it under the table and subtly. And why do they do it like that? Because they don't want to run off any of his potential voters if they can lure him over. Everybody's got to be smart like that, no matter who your guy is. Now, my point in telling you this about Trump is his problem is broader appeal. He barely won in 2016. It wasn't a landslide, guys. I'm not being ignorant. I'm telling you this because do you want to win or not? You got to fix your problems. If you don't want to be Sun Tzu and you don't want to win and you just want to have a cult of personality and get mad at the people who are telling you stuff, even if they're trying to help because they may have a different primary choice, that's your, I'm not going to tell you what to believe. But I do have an 18-year record of being straightforward with you. Now with this, he's got to work on broader appeal. And he should be straight focused on issues. I don't care if he's in a courtroom today. And I'm going to tell you, most voters don't care right now because this is going to become less about his legal problems and more about people's bills as we get closer to November. People want a fighter. They don't want to feel like they're bailing somebody out. That's just being honest. He's got to focus on serving voters instead of the other way around. That will help broader appeal. DeSantis needs to step up. He's got to be way more aggressive because dodging is not the way to do it. He needs to utterly destroy Haley and he needs to take Trump on. And being nice and all that anymore, now time is of the essence. Now, I think that his campaign, he's had people involved with his campaign. They're all amazing, super smart people. But some of the people are a little bit more cautious than others. And the ones who are a little bit more cautious, they need to step aside. Now, Nikki Haley has the exact opposite problem with Trump, with the independents and that. She has a deficit with the base. She plays better with the independents. She may try to parlay that into momentum coming up. She's not out yet.
Hi, I'm Adriana, a politics major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arnn with a Constitution Minute.
America's founders recognized an obvious fact of life. Human beings differ in terms of physical attributes and talents. Because of this, some people will be better at some things than they are at others. But they also recognized that the tall and the short among us, the swift and the slow among us, are still human beings if we are recognizable as human beings, and therefore we are equal in terms of the rights that pertain to human beings, rights attached to human nature, rights that come from God. The Declaration of Independence names three of the big ones: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Exercising these rights is necessary if we are to be truly free. In our own time, many influential people believe that only government can decide what our rights should be. This is dangerous. Understanding our rights and how the Constitution protects them is vital to our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket constitution, visit constitutionminute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So 1 in 5 hospital deaths in the United States are the result of doctor errors. That's crazy. It's like my grandpa's like from the grave. He's going, I told you. Researchers say that medical blunders are an urgent public health problem. 1 in 5 hospital deaths. That is crazy. And you know, it's very, very difficult to litigate those things. Deadly Arctic blast has brought travel chaos. This is insane. Over 7,000 flights are canceled or delayed. Cars are stranded. 150 million people face a wind chill. Warning. They got windshield warnings. That's wild. I mean, there's still ice on the ground in Texas. It's 18 degrees. That's why it's turtleneck city for Dana until, you know, we got like decent actual Texas weather back, because this is nuts. I don't like this. 10 vehicles were buried in a snow slide in Colorado alone. This was wild. Oh, that's terrifying. When you drive through like mountain passes and there's just gigantic mounds of snow piled up on either side of you. Oh man, that's kind of freaky, you know? But they said it's the Berthoud Pass that's going to remain closed because avalanche danger. 10 vehicles were caught in a snow slide. That has to be scary. Americans can no longer afford their cars. Thanks, Bidenomics. Car ownership has always been kind of like a trademark of the American get-up-and-go lifestyle. And so now, I mean, they've been viewed as what? Freedom, independence, and rebellion. Sidebar, I have a psychological deep dive on this because the younger generations don't prize cars as much, and I think it has to do with chipping away at this American ideal. Just saying. Anyway, they said that the automobile has reached a crucial point because people cannot afford their cars anymore, which goes into you will own nothing and be happy, right? And eat bugs. They said new and used car prices rose to record highs during the pandemic, and so I mean, yeah, you had chip shortages and supply chain disruptions, etc. But new car prices have risen by 30%, according to Copilot and Newsweek. And they said that when inflation slowed to the point that the feds decided to stop hiking rates, new car prices rose by 1% to an average of $50,000. Used car prices fell only 2%. Average is $31,000. That's insane. That is crazy. All right, so a study revealed that a potential hot spring could be the birthplace of early life. So it's people's soup. There you go. Miss Colorado made history because she became the first serving U.S. soldier ever to be crowned Miss America. She's training to be Top Gun, which is actually super cool. She won it over the weekend, 22-year-old Madison Marsh. And she's a United States Air Force pilot. She was crowned Miss America on Sunday. That's pretty cool. I didn't watch it. Her dress is like pretty awesome. Please tell me that her talent was flying a jet, because I would be like, all you broads go home. She wins. Everybody off the stage. She wins. She just flew a jet. That's her talent.
You know, it's interesting for the call, Britt. Obviously, it happens.
We're going to go ahead and interrupt this
number of networks.
Audio.
Including-
we're going to go ahead and call it. We're going to go ahead and call this audio right now. That's Brett Baer saying that he's making the call. We're going to call early call his call on the caucuses. Kane, welcome back. The program, Dana Lash, here, bottom of this.
Probably should we hear the rest of what Brett had to say?
No, or? I mean, we got the raw data. We can make the call.
You don't want to see it through to the end there?
No, or? we can make the call. Oh. Feel confident in that. All make right. The call right there. Yeah, they don't need to hear it.
Okay.
Just making the call. Making the call. So, interesting. Did you guys hear about the, hold up, I wanted to touch on this before we move to the McConnell Amnesty 2018 part deux plan. The pro-Hamas protesters swarming in New York City Cancer Hospital. Nothing persuades people more than yelling for terrorists at sick kids in a cancer hospital. I mean, you know, that's really going to persuade people. I don't know if you guys, they've been ongoing. They've been doing this. They've had literally like kids standing in the window. It's the Sloan Kettering. And the pro-Hamas butt-kissers group, I just don't even want to say their names because I can't say anything nice in association with it. They were trying to explain their rhetoric because they were screaming at these people, at these patients. They had thousands that marched yesterday. It was their Gaza MLK Day march for healthcare. What the hell kind of cluster blank is that? It's gonna throw all the things in here. And they went to the Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center and they shouted shame, like shame because they had cancer. Like what? That's the pro-Hamas fellators, the terrorists. You're terrorist apologists. It's all terrorists. And this is after, you know, anti-Semitic attacks in the United States have spiked 360% since Hamas's terrorist attack. So they literally walked past a cancer center screaming shame at the kids in the window getting cancer treatment.
Sign me up.
What is wrong with these people? Oh my gosh, you can tell that Hamas has a backwards culture because all their supporters sound like they're the product of incest. I mean, for real, like, where does this come from? I mean, it's, I mean, is it, do they just want attention? Because it doesn't sound like they're trying to persuade anyone. So when they were asked, why did you literally target a cancer? I mean, maybe they thought there was a Hamas headquarters there too. Like there's one in the Gaza one. I don't know. But they said, no, it's because the hospital accepted a donation from a billionaire Zionist. That was their excuse. What? I don't know, man. I don't even understand. This is so stupid. This is so dumb. So they, yeah, that's like, that's, and there are like literally people in the windows that are receiving treatment looking down on them. Like, what is in the, what's happening here? Why are you doing this? So they said that it was Zionist Ken Griffin. And this is after he threatened pro-Hamas student activists at Harvard with revoked job offers. Yeah, because they're terrorist butt kissers. Wah. Cry harder, terrorist. I just have zero sympathy, courtesy, kindness, tolerance for this nonsense. I don't want a ceasefire. I want more fire. I want hellfire and brimstone. I don't want ceasefire. I mean, that's just, it's sickening. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for it. No, heaven forbid they won't tell Hamas, the government that they all voted for, ceasefire. No, no, no. You can't defend yourself. How dare you? Well, if you didn't want the fight, you shouldn't have picked it. Not everybody else's fault. These are the rules of war. This is why people say war is hell. Don't pick the fight. Pretty simple.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.